In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manassero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manassero, and this is the show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes or Apple Podcasts, type in Old Dogs, spelled D-A-W-G-S, find our podcast, and subscribe. Well, we have a returning friend here, sort of our resident attorney at law, a gentleman who has, first time on is about 2018, talked about series LLCs and safeguarding your properties from lawsuits. And then, in 2021, sort of post-COVID there, what is a land trust and, talking more about protecting property. So I'm excited to have Scott Royal Smith on the show. And I'm sure that's a familiar name to you folks that listen regularly. He is a real estate investor and asset protection attorney. Scott became an entrepreneur while still in law school, purchasing and running an auto mechanic shop to pay his way through school. After graduating, Scott began his law career as a high-stakes corporate litigator. He spent the last 10 years of his career analyzing real estate investment and asset protection. Today, Scott is the founder and CEO of Royal Legal Solutions, a firm he built to offer tax, business, and legal strategies to clients all over the U.S. and Canada. He continues to educate the public on asset-protecting strategies to help circumvent debilitating lawsuits for his clients. Well, Scott, welcome back to the Old Dogs REI Network podcast.
Hey, what's up, man? Yeah, great to be back here again, and especially in such interesting economic and investing times.
You got that right, man.
I know, man. I was looking at so much of like what's going on right now, and I was just looking at some of the charts of like what's been happening with real estate, and you know, like looking over the past like 2 years, how you just end up with this J curve in terms of pricing, and was thinking about, okay, what's this coming, you know, recession or economic, you know, situation going to look like. You know, I look back at, 2008 and said, hey, we have a 20% reduction there. And I've been talking to my friends about, what do we think is going to be happening here in the future? And could we see something is like in 2008, potentially, well, could that be like not as bad then? Because that was pretty rough. Or could it end up even being worse, right, than that? Like, what are the unknown variables that we have there? And how should we be planning for, you know, divesting potentially from some of our real estate and thinking about tax there? As well as, hey, well, what happens in down economies? Well, it's a lot of lawsuits because people don't have as much. So they try to take from those that have, especially people that are exposed and have assets in their personal name. So those are some of the things that are top of mind for us, Bill, and in my circles that I've been running in and seeing people be really interested in. And I don't know if you want to talk about that today or something else.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I want to talk about, because these are strange economic times. I mean, we've got, you know, pending recession, possible crash, maybe a correction. I mean, economists are all over the board on what's going to happen. You know, and you add to that this inflation that's just like going through the ceiling. So all of those things, you know, affect us in multiple ways as real estate investors. But, you know, I really want to kind of zero in on some of the, you know, some of the key legal issues that you're especially you're dealing with right now for real estate investors, and how can people better position themselves? You had mentioned, you know, people going crazy with lawsuits. Well, yeah, I mean, they're, I mean, everything is going crazy. Yeah, I mean, right now, crime is at an all-time high. People are grabbing things wherever they can get them, and I think that lawsuits are not not anything any different. So yeah, I'd like to hear.
Well, you know, I can tell you about that, Bill, is that like that's actually not true. That's actually not just true for normal people. That's also true for attorneys, right? Attorneys are just like people like anywhere else. So they also have families that they need to feed. And so attorneys, especially litigation attorneys, they make their money off of what? It's suing people, right? So when you look at down economies, you're looking at, you know, people become more desperate, like your tenants and other people become more desperate. But also the attorneys become more desperate, right? So you see this spike in litigation that happens anytime that there's any type of down economic factors because people are desperate. And so what do desperate people do? Well, they lie, they cheat, they steal, they do whatever they can to be able to take from the people that have stuff that they can take, right? So whether that's like the bag of Cheetos from Walmart, or that's you, the real estate investor who has assets in your personal name that they can easily find on the public record and say, hey, that has a great target for us to be able to go after because that person will pay us. And it's a sad reality, but that is historically what the data shows is when you look at spikes in litigation that happens every cycle. And real estate investors are really in a bad position because when you have assets in your personal name, everybody can just find that under a minute. You can use services like datatree.com to be able to quickly pull what are all of the assets and all of the companies that like Bill or anybody else would have that's attached to their personal name. And from there, they decide, hey, is this person a good person to go after or not? And it's really unfair because if you have assets in your personal name and they do try to sue you, well, they put you into an impossible situation because you're risked with already being in an economic, you know, a downturn. And then they're putting you in a position where they could take everything you own, you know, from a single lawsuit. And so then you have to pay them out and you have to pay them out substantially to be able to make sure that you don't run the risk of losing everything. And it's really not that hard to fix those scenarios. You know, we can get into like how would you fix that scenario to make sure that you're not in that position. But I didn't know if that was something that you were aware of what would happen with litigation inside of economic cycles.
Yeah, well, that's why I want to talk to you because I think that's an area you're obviously right on the pulse of. So, what kinds of things should you know investors be prepared? And I know there's a lot of just to clarify here, we have a lot of different types of investors that listen to the show, from wholesalers and flippers to you know people that have single family home rentals. Some have short term Airbnb. We got passive syndication investors. We got syndicator operator sponsors. We got people that invest in deeds and liens. I mean, the list goes on and on. So there are you know many different issues I'm sure faced by the different asset classes that people are involved with. But what are some of the things that you know, that might apply to, you know, majority of those folks and how can we be better prepared for those challenges there?
Yeah, well, it really doesn't matter what assets you're in at the very highest level of understanding, like, what do you need to do, right? So if you're a person that has assets in your personal name, you're automatically somebody that says, nope, I'm a target to come after the lawsuit. I'm exposed to any type of litigation, taking all those assets, whether they're bank accounts, stock accounts, you know, your notes, your real estate, whatever it might be, and having that taken from you, right? So, you know, I have a friend of mine who lost over $3 million in real estate and other assets from a single lawsuit. He was very well insured, but he solely relied on his insurance to protect him. And what he didn't realize is that, you know, one is that whenever people sue you, everybody lies, right? So that his being an honest business person wasn't good enough. And that also he didn't realize that insurance companies only protect you against accidents. They won't protect you against any allegations of fraud or breach of contract. So if you're doing business and signing leases, you know, those are all claims for breach of contract. You're sending emails. Those are all claims for fraud, right? People will say that you lied to them in the email. And if he would have just put together a single LLC, I believe he'd be over $3 million richer today because of it, right? That's the power of having structures put in place proactively and getting all of those assets, you know, out of your name. You know, rich people don't own things, right? Like rich people have entities and those entities own those things. Why? It's because rich people are really concerned about how do you maintain wealth. I mean, have you ever heard of that, Bill? Like, you know, the math on that of like how hard it is to be able to make the money back that you would lose, whether it's from a lawsuit or a bad deal. Have you ever tried to crunch those numbers?
No, I haven't.
So like, if you think about it, if you had $100, right, and then you lost 50%, right, now you have to go back into your deal making and somehow you have to figure out to make 100% return on the money that you have remaining. So if you're making like 10% per year on your money, you're talking about like 4 to 5 years to be able to recover from a loss, right? So it becomes what rich people really understand is that it's really important not to lose money. Like Warren Buffett, right? His number one rule is don't lose money. His number two rule is see rule number one, right? Mm-hmm. And because that's the power of not losing money. So whether it's from a bad real estate deal and making sure that you exit the market at the right time, right? Or whether it's from, you know, lawsuits that we're talking about here today and the potential of those lawsuits, it's super important. And the most important thing you can do is to not lose money, not lose those assets, and act like rich people do, right? Like the success leaves clues, and they leave clues that we can follow. And those clues are to do two things. One is to have an operating company, which has no assets in it, but does sends all your emails and enters in all your contracts. Because remember we talked about before, those are the reasons that people would sue you. It's either because of fraud or breach of contract. Otherwise, your insurance company is going to pick up whatever the claim is going to be and protect you because all that's left are accidents. And the reason why you push that through an operating company that has no assets, because that's the one you want people to sue, because we can just shut down that company, start up a new one, and it costs us maybe $1,000 to do that, right? That's a really cheap way to get out of a lawsuit. Just say, great, sue that company all you want. I don't care. I'm just going to start up a new LLC and continue to operate my business. Rich people always do that and protect themselves with that. And then they have a separate LLC that owns all of their assets. So that way that if they ever get sued or they get sued through their business, nobody gets to touch their money ever, right? And that's the secret to how everything works. And that's how you just keep getting richer over time, regardless of what happens.
So just to clarify there, so you have a let's say one LLC, and then under that LLC, you have multiple LLCs or another LLC, just one?
You can make these structures as complicated as you want, right? And the structure can be as complicated as you want, depending upon the types of assets that you have, whether, and like you talked about, right? Like each person listening to this podcast is going to be particular to what is going to be the ideal structure for them, right? At the highest level, what you're looking for is at least two completely separate LLCs. One LLC that handles all of your active business and your operations, which is emails, contracts, property management, et cetera, right? Anything that's active and that touches the world, that's your face to the world. And you have a completely separate LLC that owns all of your assets. And so that would be, you know, your brokerage account, your extra cash that you would have. And I say extra cash because you're going to have some money that's in your personal accounts for just your day-to-day living. But like that $250,000 that you have is dry powder to get into deals. That goes into your asset holding company. It would also hold like all of your single family homes, your notes, your syndication investments, et cetera. Anything that would be like that would make you sad if you lost it should all be inside of your asset holding company. Now, the right type of asset holding company is also depends upon the types of assets, whether you want an LLC structures, idea because you're in like apartments and commercial investing, or you want a series LLC structure because you're looking in for an infinitely scalable structure that doesn't cost you anything extra as you scale and you really want that scalability, you might want a series LLC. If you want to avoid franchise taxes because you live in California, you might want a Delaware statutory trust. And there can be all these different types of asset holding companies, right, that all have different advantages to them depending upon the types of assets. So what we always do is we say, hey, listen, man, everybody that comes in, you need to have an estate plan because you need to be able to make sure that your family is going to be taken care of if anything happens to you, right? How is that going to happen? The government shouldn't be making decisions for your family about what happens to your assets if something were to happen to you. Then you also need to have that operating company put in place because you need to personally protect yourself because you have a credit score and that if people sue you, that hurts your credit score. And we also want to make sure that our worst case scenario, if you get sued, is we shut down one company and just start up another for you to continue to operate your property leasing and otherwise managing your affairs and your investments and business. And then you also should have an asset holding company of some sort, depending upon your types of assets that you're in, that would compartmentalize each of your assets and hold them anonymously. So that way, if one asset is ever sued, they can't get to any of the other assets. And people, because you can structure anonymity in place to say that, hey, nobody can even find out what companies you own or what assets you own. So if it looks to sue you, it looks like you qualify for food stamps. And that's the secret about how do you stop lawsuits before they ever start. It's because when it looks like you qualify for food stamps, because all of your assets and your companies are held anonymously, people just don't sue you. And if they do sue you and try to move forward with the lawsuit, that's when the compartmentalization and isolating each asset makes it where there's not enough money there for them to come after. So that way it says, well, great. The business decision of the lawsuit doesn't make any sense because this person looks like the castle of protection we have to fight through is so time consuming, so expensive, and there's not much money there at the end. Even if we win, we just won't proceed with the lawsuit. So I defend about one lawsuit a month for the clients using these structures that I've set up over the last 7 years for over 2,000 clients. And every single time it's like a clock because I have all of the tools and all of the weapons that I needed already set up ahead of time because I knew what was going to happen in that litigation from my litigation experience and then doing that, doing litigation over the last 7 years. So it really is effective and it's exceptionally important in this new economic cycle that we're coming into to be thinking about. How do you make sure that when they're looking for the easy target to sue, that it's not you with a bunch of assets in your personal name, that they know that they're going to be able to squeeze you, and how important it is to just take the target off your back by just putting in some really simple structuring.
You talk about the anonymity aspect of it. Are those like Wyoming, Nevada, Delaware type LLCs?
Yeah, so you can do anonymity and accomplish that in a couple of different ways. One is, and most popular, I think, is probably to use a Wyoming LLC and have that in place. The other way that you can do it is using an LLC that's owned by a trust and using like a revocable grantor trust or a land trust, which are free to create. There's no filing for them. They don't cost you anything to maintain. There's no extra bookkeeping or tax returns or anything with that. And what they do is they just mask the name of the ownership. And then if you structure everything through a law firm, then all of the information connected to your LLCs and your trusts and any of the information regarding any of those legal structures all point back to an attorney and a law firm. So that way people can't even ask about that information. It's all protected by the attorney-client privilege. It even stops the court to a very large extent from being able to even ask any questions about it because now they're talking to an attorney, right? And that's the way that our legal structure works is that the attorney-client privilege is the strongest privacy shield you can have. So not only does using the Wyoming LLC and these trusts remove your name from the public record to provide you the anonymity to stop lawsuits before they start, you're also getting extra legal shields by using an attorney to be all of the contact information pieces on the LLCs and trusts to further protect the privacy And all the while, you know, if you ever needed or wanted to prove the ownership of the entities or any of the assets, what you would do is just make a private disclosure to that bank or whoever and show them the documentation that says you truly are the one that have control, right? So the attorneys would never have control over anything. They're just there to be a smokescreen. And that whenever you need to prove ownership or control, you're able to do that by producing your accounting records as well as the underlying documentation, which shows that you, the client, are the one that actually controls everything, and that the person, this attorney, is only there for a nominee purpose. It's only there for the public-facing purpose.
That's great. And sort of on the personal side of it, that's where you've got the sort of the living trust or something there that, you know, at least protects you in terms of those, especially here in California, ridiculous, inheritance laws and so forth that, they'll take as much as they can. So, So that you recommend as well, sort of and then these entities, you know, are basically part of the, you know, the inheritance or your legacy, what have you.
Yeah. It's, when we talk about like, what's your legacy, right? Cause you're building all these assets. Eventually you're going to need to pass them. Either because eventually you're not going to use these assets anymore. You're going to die, right? And who gets them now at that point? So it's most of the time it's you're thinking about like your family or the people in your life that you care about or that you otherwise support. And if you don't do anything, right, then what happens is that it all goes through probate court. So it all becomes public, the full extent of the assets and who all they go to. And the government makes all of those decisions for you. So the better way to do this is to use something that's called a living trust, which completely avoids all of the court process. So you save a bunch of money on attorney's fees. It also gives immediate direct control to the heirs, whoever the people are that you wanted to pass the assets to. And you get to control from per the trust document, you get to control how the assets get used, right? So, you know, probably if you don't do anything, your kids would fully inherit everything that you would have for them when they turn 18. But you might say, hey, that's probably not a good idea to drop, you know, $500,000 to $1 million on an 18-year-old, right? Well, that's what you would use your living trust for. You say, hey, I want them to have so much at 18, so much at 25, so much to 30. You can then start to control like what happens to the money at that point, right? And how they get it. And that's why your living trust and your estate planning is so important. And the great part about the estate planning, the living trust and the estate planning is that all you have to do is get it set up. And then at any time, you're going to be able to modify that, usually once a year. It's typically what we recommend for that. And then it's the only document that you would need to control like moving forward. So what we always say is, it only matters that you get it set up. Getting it set up and using our best practices will take you less than an hour, hour and a half to get everything fully set up for your estate planning. It's very painless. And then we just touch base on it once a year to update it. So it doesn't have to be perfect. We just need to get it done. And most people are like, I know this is the thing I need to have been doing for so long, and I haven't been able to get myself to do it. Well, this is the perfect time to do it, right? Go ahead, get it set up. We have streamlined a process to be able to do that. And then you don't then have to be perfect. We always will look to update it at least once a year. So just get it set up and we update it. Stop worrying about perfection. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Good stuff. Good stuff. You mentioned a little bit on the DST, maybe you could zero in. You've spoken on that in previous shows, but, I thought, what would be the value there? Is it more to avoid, this ridiculous taxes that are going to be, they're going to hit you in capital gains, or are there other advantages there?
So the DST structure with 1031 is typically a tax leverage structure for 1031 exchanges. But it works that way based upon like, how would you do your real estate investing with the being able to buy stock in the DST and qualify for a 1031 exchange, which you can't do with the LLC. So in and of itself is typically we use it for our based investors to be able to avoid the LLC franchise taxes at 800 a year. So if you're a California based investor and you're like, hey, I want anonymity and I want asset protection, I want compartmentalization of my assets, and I want that to all be streamlined, DST is a great choice because it saves you a bunch of money from the alternative of LLCs. But when it comes into like this other tax question of like, well, what happens if I'm trying to sell a bunch of my real estate right now and divest from my real estate. And I don't necessarily know if I even want to do a 1031 exchange, because I don't necessarily know if I want to be into more real estate right now. That's where we actually will look towards using our in-house CPA MBA, like part of our tax division, to start coming up with what does that plan look like. Typically using some type of like accelerated and bonus depreciation from other real estate that you have, using like home, auto, and structuring payments to children or family members to be able to increase like expenses that flow against the income, to be able to reduce the tax liability there, as well as using like solo 401ks, defined benefit plans, potentially even using like private foundations, which you can set up for $5,000 or so dollars, depending upon the complexity, that give you huge tax benefits and huge tax advantages. But it really depends on a case-by-case basis. But our processes with having an in-house tax division is we're able to look at everything on the legal side, then also look at everything on the tax side. And then we also have an in-house, we're the only company I know of that has an in-house insurance division as well, to be able to integrate all three legs of the stool for entrepreneurs, business owners, and real estate investors to say, great, we can see how all these three need to work in tandem to be able to get you to like an optimized tax and protection result that is easy enough for the average investor to be able to manage on their own after we get it set up and running for you.
That's awesome. Do you do much in the way of C Corps at all as a holding company or?
Yeah, so C Corps, S Corps, and LLCs, they all provide the same asset protection. The only reason to differentiate between those is because there's a tax result that you're looking for. So the move to make is to first to set up your asset protection foundations using the operating company and the asset holding company that we talked about. Then the next, after you get those foundations that everything is protected, then we'll say, great, well, now let's plan out what needs to happen with your tax strategy to reduce your tax liability and maximize your net worth to passive income, because that's typically what the key number we're trying to get to, which is how much passive income do I have? How well is my net worth aligned to my passive income or into growing my net worth if you're heavily pushed into retirement accounts to do that? And then the last leg of the stool that we look for is then, well, great, how do I streamline my insurance? Because our insurance protects us from most things most of the time, like those 90%, and against all those accidents, right? So we want all of our insurance companies to be our best first line of defense from what happens in most claims. And we say we want to have great insurance over there with liability policies and umbrella policies, life insurance, probably some disability insurance if you're the primary breadwinner. And say, great, now we have every area covered, right? Because we have the basics of our entity structure set up. We then go through our tax strategy. Our tax strategy will then say, how do we want to elect for LLCs to be taxed? If we want that LLC to be elect for it to be taxed as an S Corp or C Corp, so we can get the ideal tax treatment without any of the additional complexity and compliance that you would have otherwise. And then lastly, we go ahead and cover off on migrating all of the insurance into a single point of contact for all your properties and your businesses throughout the country. So that way you have one agent to talk to that can quarterback everything for you in-house and make sure that all of the coverages that you have there are appropriate. So you don't have too much or too little insurance. Most of the time, what we find is that we're able to keep people's expense on their insurance relatively the same, but we're able to double the amount of coverage and the types of coverage they have to just keep taking more and more risks off the table.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Wow. Yeah, that's some good stuff. Good stuff. Other general thoughts you might have not touched on that you think our listeners should know?
The only thing I would say to leave with is that like we're not unique, right? Anybody can do these things that we do themselves, right? The only things that we really bring to the table is we've worked with about 2,000 investors over the last 7 years, and we're all real estate investors ourselves in the company inside of Royal Legal Solutions. And we have a team of about 30 people of attorneys and paralegals and support staff. So what we would love to be able to do to help everybody with is just getting more educated on how each of those three legs work between the asset protection, estate planning, the tax, and the insurance. And then if it makes sense for us to help you by building those systems, process, and infrastructure for you, that's where you would engage us. But all the information and education that we have on those, we give it all away for free at royallegalsolutions.com. When you click the get a price or get started button at the top of the page and fill out that quiz, then you're able to start interacting with the staff, and there's no cost to do that. And from there, we're able to start giving you the right education materials, because we know that we're only interested in having relationships with people that are willing to be educated. And we give away all of the education that we do that we could otherwise charge thousands of dollars for. We give it all away for free. So we have, I have like 11 eBooks I wrote, and I have thousands of hours of videos. But when people come in, interact with the staff from the royallegalsolutions.com website and start that conversation by doing the quiz, then we're able to start pairing you with, okay, here is out of all the information that we have, and now that we know about your situation, here is the couple hours of homework that you need to know to get up to speed on what's the ideal asset protection estate planning for you. How do you need to start thinking through like what we've seen as best practices through like tax management and your tax strategy, as well as your insurance, and see how all those get connected with you. And we only take a dollar from you at the moment that you tell us that you want us to help you build something. Otherwise, we're just here to help you get educated get clear and confident on what your path forward looks like, whether you work with us or you decide you want to do something different.
Awesome. And you can work with folks in any state, right? Of the union here?
That's it. Any state in the union. Yeah. It says the Old Dogs Network, right? And I was raised in Texas. I haven't heard it referred to as a union in a minute. You know?
Well, it hasn't been real united lately. It's been a little...
Yeah, the union's looking a little shaky, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, that's what we've done. So for anybody anywhere in the country, regardless of where you own properties, where you own assets, we work with people that are just like you. And we have, we operate based upon best practices from what we see is what are the predictable, consistent and predictable systems and processes that will lead to wealth creation through real estate over time, right? Anywhere, any in the country with whatever assets you are, we are, we'll have a great conversation with you to be able to help introduce you to more education and hopefully find a way that we can help you accelerate your path forward. By offloading some of these things that you've been thinking about doing and actually getting them done.
Love it. That's great. And contact information for folks again?
Yeah, it's just royallegalsolutions.com. And then click the get a price or get started button at the top of the page. And then just go ahead and fill out that quiz that you'll see on that page there. And if you scroll down that page, you'll see, we got more videos that are highly instructional videos, like all of our best content that is our most watched content is on those pages, as well as, video client testimonials to get a feel for like what are the people that we're working with to see if they're people that are like you. I'm sure they will be, as well as diagrams and other informational types of pieces that really are like peeling back the veil to show you, hey, this is exactly how all this stuff works. Because again, our goal is not to hide any balls. It's just to be able to get all the information out in front of everybody in a way that everybody can understand, because we know that wealth happens from taking action, and the barriers to taking action is feeling clear and confident. And the way you feel clear and confident is to be educated and to be able to have somebody hold your hand that's done it before, right? Just like you got into investing, right? What did you need? You need somebody that was educated and somebody that was going to hold your hand and mentor you a little bit through the process. And that's the way that we are real estate investors, and we are investors ourselves. And that's the same kind of methodology that we use in this asset protection, estate planning, the tax, and the insurance.
That's great. That's great, Scott. Well, man, it's been great having you back on. A lot going on, man.
Yeah, Bill. No, it's great to be here, man. I'm glad to see that you're doing well and that your community here is thriving.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Well, thanks again for being on, Scott. And I want to thank all our Old Dog listeners out there, too, for joining us. I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taken the time to join us means a lot, and we really appreciate it. Now, please note everything that Scott talked about today, including links here, will be in our show notes, our detailed show notes at the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. and you're going to look for the episode with our good friend here, Scott Smith. Well, thanks, Scott, for being on, and thanks for all those out there listening. Well, that is the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.